Welcome to the James Bond Complex. My name is Matt.
My name is Edgar.
My name is Jason Kim.
And together we are the James Bond Complex, the podcast that covers the entire James Bond phenomenon, from Fleming to film, and of course, everything in between.
Ooh.
Oh. And, you know, it's been a while since we've done a debriefing, but we're doing one this week, and we have subject that we're pretty late to cover on the show, but it felt, you know, after a while, it felt like something we should discuss, because there's been a major loss a few weeks ago. We lost Live and Let Die actor, and, you know, I see Live and Let Die actor like it's the only movie that he's done, but we lost Yaphet Kotto, Mr. Big / Dr. Kananga in Live and Let Die. Also known for his other movies, he was in The Running Man with Arnold.
He was in Midnight Run with Robert De Niro, a film I really cherish, as well as a movie Alien. Called. He was an Alien.
And, yeah, Edgar's favorite movie of all time.
Another film I really enjoy, Yaphet Kotto, is in a prison justice movie called Brobacker with Robert Redford.
He's just across 100, and he's also in a very wonderful little comedic, intentionally comedic black exploitation film called Foster Friday with Foxy Brown herself, what's her face, Pam Grier. Very good movie. I like that movie a lot, and he's particularly funny in it.
And he was also in the sixth, A Nightmare on Elm Street film. Yeah. Freddy's Dead.
I didn't realize there were that many Nightmare on Elm Street. I'm learning something new every day.
I think there's like three or four more after that, including the remake. Anyway, he's in the sixth one. He's a sideline character. He's not the main character. He's more like a helper. He helps the people kill Freddy in that movie. But yeah, he passed away. When did he pass away? A couple of weeks ago. I don't remember.
At this point,
yeah. March 15th.
More like a month ago.
No. It's less than that. Actually, by the time this is released, it's gonna be exactly almost a month ago. But still, at first we didn't do one. Our schedule didn't allow us to do a debriefing, and when there was a gap in the schedule that made it possible, I felt like it's you know, he's good in the movie, and he's had a pretty great career, even though if he wasn't as active the past few years. I think he was still doing conventions until the pandemic started. Like, he was still signing shit in booths in convention centers,
I believe. It
81 years old.
Yeah, he wasn't that old, I remember. So
lasted long. I would say, I could be way off in this, but my instinct is telling me if he passed away at 81, he seems to have lasted at least a few years longer than a lot of other actors.
Oh yeah.
From that era. I think a lot of these people are dying in their 70s.
If you say that way. And I mean, that just shows, like, I didn't realize how young he was in Live and Let Die. He was like early 30s, if that, then, as Mr. Big, then, if he passed away at 81.
Yeah, and he's very good in that movie. I know we've already seen it twice for the purpose that we've done our Reloaded of that movie, so I don't know if we're gonna find an excuse to watch it a third time at some point, but he's very, very good. He's, unsurprisingly, he's a little bit more interesting as Dr. Kananga than he is as Mr. Big in that film. But he's quite. It's a very sophisticated performance. He shows a lot of. He's evil, but he shows a lot of class. He's very cultivated. He's an appropriate opposite force for Roger Moore's first Bond fare. I like him quite a bit in that movie.
Mm-hmm. He's also, the movie I like him the best, though, is not from Live and Let Die. It's actually one of my favorite characters in Alien.
When he gets, like, the way he dies, I remember, just always, like, sticks in my memory. Or the way a lot of characters die in Aliens sticks in my memory. Let's put it that way.
The goddamn robot.
Yeah.
Yes. I love that scene when he eats on ash and everything's spewing. and he's one of the first one like, yeah, let's blow this thing and let's get it out. He's super down with it.
Smartest one on the ship.
Yeah. He's one of my, he's memorable. He's got a great laugh and he's very laid back. That entire cast is great. And we've been losing them. We lost I forget the actor's name, the guy who plays Ash, old Bilbo. We lost him.
Ian Holm.
We lost what's his name in the movie? The guy who gets chest bursted.
Oh, John Hurt.
John Hurt. We lost him.
Oh yeah, he passed away a while ago.
And we lost the first one who dies. He was also in Twin Peaks.
Isn't John Hurt the first one that dies?
John Hurt's the first one. He gets chest busted, but the first one that gets killed by the alien itself.
Harry Dean Stanton.
Yes. Who was all the same exact age as my grandfather, which I was like, oh. That was a little bit weird. I think even to the day, almost like, and I lost my grandfather in 2005, and he only passed away, I think two or three years ago. I'm sorry, Jason.
And then someone refreshed me on the actor's name, because I know he was very prolific, but not a star. Is the actor who played Guy Haynes just passed away a few days ago?
In Quantum of Yes, Solace. I don't remember his name though. A lot of people on Twitter were singing his praises. So I'm going to assume that he was a fine actor, but he's not an actor I was familiar with, other than Guy Haynes, which is like a nothing role, anyways.
Yeah, I'm not gonna pretend I knew who he was or that he was great in the cinematic role of Guy Haynes.
Actor's name was Paul Ritter. Not that I knew who Paul Ritter was per se, but he was relatively young. Like he was only like 55, 54, 55.
Yeah, something must have happened there, unfortunately.
Oh, that's who he was. He was in Chernobyl. That's how I know him from. That's
good show, apparently.
Yeah. For better or for worse, yes. And so now that Paul Ritter has passed, and we saw the likes of the Snyder Cut on HBO Max. Should we demand Mark Forster to release the Forster Cut so we see the original ending of Mr. White's death and the epilogue? Epilogue that was supposed to end Quantum of Solace.
The answer is yes. I mean, the answer is always yes, if that's the question.
I don't think there's a... the Forrester Cut is the film we got. He wanted the movie, and I remember I'm quoting from... But he wanted Tight as a Bullet. Film. So we got the Forster Cut, the Forster Cut. Mm-hmm. Blah, blah, blah.
I do really want to see the original ending that they actually shot. Like I think that's like the only scene that he deleted from the final film in the end. And I never played any of the Daniel Craig video games because I didn't really like any his video games per se. But in the Quantum of Solace video game, where it's the story, but it encompasses both Casino Royale and Quantum, the game ends with the original cut of Bond approaching Bond killing Mr. White and, you know, approaching Guy Haynes.
Interesting.
That's the only and I've seen like a couple still photos of Mr. White pointing the gun at Guy Haynes' character, but the only actual footage I've seen is from the game of Quantum of Solace. And the game ends that way. Yeah.
The Quantum of Solace.
I will say the theme song.
Don't know what it means.
I would say the theme song in Quantum of Solace is better than the Jack White and Alicia Keys' Another Way to Die. I really dig
like the joke song is better than maybe a little bit maybe.
The video game song is better than the film song.
Oh yeah, I think I know what you're talking about. Yeah, that's actually not bad. That's actually not a half bad song. I do kind of like that song. Yeah.
Speaking of video games, how about that Project 007?
What about it?
I know it's like being developed by the same company who developed the Hitman video games.
Yeah, that's the thing. But the thing that's been confirmed now is that they're not going to use any current or former Bond as their sort of physical representation of Bond. They're going to build a Bond for us. So we're going to have like a completely novel version of James Bond. And I think they've said that it's a sort of a origin story that they're doing for Bond, but he's going to be their own creation. They want to keep links to the past, but you know, move for a new generation and, you know, to reinvent the character for current times, blah blah blah.
It's the original story.
Yes.
Do you have the text in front of you? I just want to be absolutely certain about what they're doing. As far as the originality of their James Bond, it's just the physical representation.
Hold on. I had an article, but it was in French, and I don't want to translate. So it's going to be on the article on comicbook.com. It's loading, and it's probably a press release somewhere.
So I need a confirmation on that.
In the interview, Abram Arbrock finally shared some details on what the studio is currently calling Project 007. Abrek said that the game specifically will feature the studio's own story and version of the iconic spy, rather than base the character on a certain actor that has played Bond in the past. Abrek says that the studio has its own freedom to do what it wants with the property. It's important. It's a quote. It's important to mention doing a licensed game is new to us. We've done our own original IPs. Right, we've created these characters ourselves from scratch. Abrek explained the passion needs to be there, so that it was very important for us that it wasn't a movie adaptation, so it wasn't a game about a specific movie where the story has already been told.
Okay,
I like that. So that kind of reminds me a lot more of because like I love all the Brosnan era games, and not I would say it's related to GoldenEye Redux that came out in 2005, but from everything that you describe, it reminds you a lot of both Nightfire and Agent Under Fire. Definitely more Agent Under Fire. Granted, Nightfire had Pierce Brosnan's likeness.
But Agent Under Fire, the gameplay was primitive, and also it's good news. It's honestly, I'm excited about that game. I just as long as it's not another first person shooter, I'm going to be fine if they do anything but that. I can't stand it anymore. It is 2021. Can we do other than a shooter, a Bond game that, you know, you can drive, you can go around. You don't need to.
I like third person games in general. I mean, yeah. I'm not much of a gamer personally. I mean, I have an Xbox One, but I hardly ever play it. And the last Bond related game I played on Xbox One is Forza 2019, and I bought the package with all the James Bond cars included for $10.
Hey-ho. I hope it's a game. What I think would be interesting, I don't know if they still make games like this, but I remember when I was a child, guys, it sounds moronic. When I was a kid, on my computer, we had a Titanic game. It wasn't based on the movie. It was based on, you know, the last few hours of the Titanic, and you were a character. It was first person, but you it wouldn't have to be first person. And you were walking around the Titanic and you were meeting people. And every time you met someone, they would say something and you had a choice of three or four things to say or do. I think that would be kind of cool if they made a James Bond movie like that, where you actually, albeit in a restricted multiple choice version, but still you would have the choice of dictating what James, sort of a choose your own adventure, but the video game version. I think that would be kind of cool.
I hope they make a version for Xbox One, because I don't want to buy another system. But I'm actually, with all the descriptions you gave, Matt, I'm very intrigued, because a lot of other IPs have been very creative with the way they develop their video game universe, like the Star Wars is an Indiana Jones, and it's something that Bond could totally do. And it could use Fleming characters or it cannot. And, you know, I mean, I'll still play it, is what I'll say.
The wiki sideline here, it says, I don't think that's true. PlayStation 4, Microsoft Windows, Xbox One. You know, you're gonna have to buy a new console. I'm certain.
I think. I think I mean, that's we'll get. I mean, that's a video game discussion, but like, I think a lot of video game companies realize that not everybody bought a PS5 or the new Xbox. So like, a lot they're making it compatible for a lot of previous systems. But
a really cool game would be stay with me in the world of the game. Okay, the literary Bond is not doing very well. Like, none of the continuation offers are doing a very good job. So Baron Samedi to resurrect Ian Fleming, and you play Ian Fleming trying to write. But in 2021, it's like no, you can't write that. It has to be a 21st century Bond. So the game is you play as Ian Fleming, a fish out of time, fish out of water.
Oh my god!
Fun game.
You need to propose that idea to Babs McGee, Edgar.
That's retarded. I'm sorry. That's the most.
I'd buy a PS5 for that.
And then, speaking of purchasing, I recently, or it's been a couple weeks and still hasn't shipped, is on the 007 store. It's probably one of the most affordable things on the 007 store because everything on that store is exorbitantly overpriced. Like, it's almost like borderline extortion.
I don't know what you're talking about.
I mean, that's like, is committing straight up extortion is my way I say it. But I bought the puzzle because there are two puzzles that were released. One puzzle is of one film. I think it was the first of each actor, so it was like six.
Yeah, it's the posters. One I'm looking at. Is that the one you got?
No, I got the one with all 25 films with No Time to Die included. Because I like the first of each actor, and I like the first of each actor very much, but there are other films within each actor's tenure I like better. So I had to get the No Time to Die, the 25 film one.
I didn't realize there was just like, I saw that. I'm like, I'm not really that much into puzzles. I'm like, well, how many pieces? It's
10, I think they're about the same size.
It's 1,000 pieces.
Yeah, they're both 1,000 pieces, but you know, obviously
I get it. It's just it's not like a kid's puzzle where it's like 4 pieces. Oh, I got my picture.
You know what they should do? They should make like a 5,000 piece puzzle or 10,000 piece puzzle, but like the Spectre teaser, it's just like black with like the hole. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
That'd be fun. I'd buy that.
Yeah, I'm still waiting for that puzzle to come. And any other items on the 007 store? I mean, I saw like the Baron Samedi keychain that actually looked pretty cool, and I kind of wanted to buy that.
I didn't see that. I'm never on the store.
I did get the I didn't buy it off the 007 store. I just went into those things, you know, they have doors and you get inside and it's like there's shelves.
Cars.
And they have items that you can homes. Then take to a cash bathrooms. Register and purchase. Stores.
Or dépanneurs.
Stores. I've been to a store and I went to a toy store and they had... the recent models, they had the red car from Times Are Forever, the cop car, and they had the Moonraker shuttle, which is the one I was looking for.
That actually looked really cool, Matthew. Like, what company makes that, and are there any other vehicles that that model line produce? Because I love building models. So.
Except for all the three that I just named, I don't know what they do, but it's AMT. AMT. Because I know they, you know, I think these license deals, I don't know if they own the molds themselves, because I bought a Batmobile that I did, like, it took me about a month and a half to make, because I don't, you know, you got to let the glue dry, you got let the paint dry, and you know, I feel like entertainment wise you get your money's worth. And you know, the Moonraker one, it's like, I've looked at it, it's white, but I want to paint it because white plastic especially tends to yellow, so I wanted it to look pristine. So I'll probably paint it, even though it's white plastic. And I want to add a little details. I want to add sort of because it's all not pure white when you watch the movie. It's just little bits. And I did a survey, and I think it's going to be Moonraker 5, although it's Moonraker 6 on the box. But
does it come with Roger and Holly Goodhead?
No, it doesn't. It's a sticker for the cockpit.
Okay.
It's still like I'm gonna have fun. You as an engineer would get a kick out of it. My sister works in plastics. She took it. She opened the box. She looked at it and said, "Oh, that's how they inject the plastic, and that's where they demold." And there's some grease. They also recommend that you wash these before you. I might actually make videos on me making the Moonraker shuttle, because there's grease that's inside the model. They used to dislodge it, so I have to clean that up. And you might also get microbes or specks or something that once you put the paint, it's gonna grow and make the paint peel away. So you don't want that. It's a great model. I can't wait to build it, and I hope they make more. I think this is wave two. I think they produced two batches, because it's I don't know where I saw something in the wing. It says
is it the same company who did the moon buggy for Diamonds? Because I've seen that model before.
No, I think that's Corgi. It comes with a figurine of Sean Connery. That's Corgi, and it's not a glue kit. It's already pre-made for you. That's all I have to build. But
Go ahead, man.
Oh, well, they haven't announced anything else, but I have the impression they're seeing how this first batch performs, and hopefully we have more, because I want an Aston Martin model kit, and I'd love to get the Q-boat.
Q-boat will be nice.
Well, hold on a second. But we're not done with the Moonraker vehicles. They should make the Bondola. With the little pigeon, pigeon included.
Yeah, no, I don't.
You can turn its head.
Mm-hmm. That, I'll buy V8 Vantage. I don't know if I'd buy a DB5, because that's kind of like I have too many DB5 models in my house. But
I would get it. Yeah, if I get to build it, I would get it. I'd love them to make, like I said, the Q boat.
T-55 tank, I'll buy that, because you guys know my career, so.
I don't know, you would... Oh, that's another one you made me think.
Westfeller's restaurant.
The train from GoldenEye, what's his name? Trevelyan's train. Has a mirror.
That would be cool to build, too.
The Pinocchio train. Pinocchio train. It's got that long.
Oh, that was a real name. It's just,
They call it what do they call it? I forget what they call it.
Giannis train.
Oh, he calls it. It's the train that he's in, so they can never track him.
Yeah, the untraceable Russian train. Another one. The boat wet and. Flying Nelly, those would be great. The miniature jet would also be a great addition to
Model Acrostar. Oh, yeah. I buy Acrostar. I buy both Acrostar and Little Nelly for sure.
Even the Ice Cube ship at the start of the V2AQL. I'm gonna put that one out there.
The blimp at the end of Octopussy.
I don't see how you could build that, but sure, why not, man?
You have no imagination. That's why.
I know. I left it.
We still haven't seen it, but I hope they release a toy line or a model line of the Q plane in No Time to Die that he flies out of the sea.
Yeah, you know what? That could be it. They could be waiting for the movie to be released to actually produce that kit and more toys based on, because that it feels very toyetic, and it's not something we've seen except for like a few quick shots in the trailer.
That could actually be our first Transformers vehicle. It's a plane, then it becomes a sub.
You know, they did Transformers of the Ghostbusters car. They did one of the Back to the Future car. They are doing one for the Top Gun plane. How about James Bond? Make us a Transformer to transform into James Bond. Like it's a double spy.
That would be actually pretty cool. And then another What was it?
Turns into a martini glass.
Yeah.
I'm drunk the gun. All the vehicles form their own, like they're each actor as their is a so there's a Sean Connery robot, there's a George Lazenby robot, there's a Roger Moore robot, but they're all turned into a different vehicle, a different robot. And when you merge them together, they become a bigger James Bond robot.
They become the next actor.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say it's a toy, but I forget. Correct me if I'm wrong. I think it's developed by Corgi. It's the Triumph motorcycle that Bond rides in No Time to Die in Matera. Like they made a model. Like, but it's only available because I wanted to buy because I thought it was going to ship out soon. But they're like, oh no, it's going to ship out a week after the film comes out. And I didn't really feel like
$40. It's not the most expensive thing, but you know,
I'll just wait till the movie.
I have some news actually. I just thought about. Yeah, sorry. I never have any news for these stupid debriefing episodes. But I got an email from Amazon the other day. They were saying that they sent me an email apologizing. There's a delay in the shipment of my latest edition of James Bond Archives with the No Time to Die chapter. So
I never pre-ordered that either.
You know, they did release something I want to bring up because I'm sort of ambivalent about it. But the coins, have you seen those coins that they're pushing on the stores?
I mean, if you're like a commodities investor, I would highly recommend it because my dad is like huge into finance and stocks. So, and I don't have the latest version, but in here I have one of the 007 coins with Queen Elizabeth. It's like a silver mint coin. Mm. So like many years later, it'll age a lot. And for my birthday, even though I'm not really into coins at all, my dad likes it because he says it'll grow in value. I have also another coin of the Aston Martin, and it comes with this cool description booklet and has Queen Elizabeth on the head side and Aston Martin. But I'm sure, more than certain, that come my birthday or Christmas time, he's gonna buy like the Sean Connery and Roger Moore coins as well, and it's probably gonna come in a similar packaging like what I just presented to you right now.
That's the thing. I'm not a coin collector or somebody who invests in commodities, but the Dr. No coin is kind of pretty with all the colors, and I'm like, how much is that? I'm like, when I saw the price, I was, it's $108 for a coin. I'm like, I'm going to have to pass. But it's kind of neat if you're into that type of thing, which I'm not.
I would never buy for myself, or I'm glad my dad is buying because it's not something I will personally purchase myself, to be honest with you, because like, I'd rather like build my money or portfolio in other ways.
He knows you like James Bond and he likes investing in commodities, so he's trying to combine things that you like with things that he likes.
Do they
have an actual monetary value?
Oh yeah, they do. Because it's like pure silver, or some of them are gold, like gold to a certain carat, and
it's worth its weight in the material, kind of.
Yeah, and then obviously based on, I know this is not the investment podcast, but it will grow in its value over the years at the current above the current rate of inflation. Then
like I'm buying a car, basically, you're telling us.
But cars lose its value, whereas
I know that's why I'm like it's not like buying a car.
It's time to start investing in stocks and bonds.
Yep. Stocks, bonds, and gold and silver commodities. Yep. Maybe, I mean, if I buy like 50 of them, then I could probably make my own From Russia with Love suitcase, attaché case.
I guess it's a little bit like collecting stamps, would it not be? Is it? I mean, not exactly, because the coin is worth its weight in what material it's made in, but it could increase in value over time, I suppose. Now I'm actually renouncing my own stamp. And is it collecting like stamps? Maybe not.
it
feels very old school. It feels very,
oh yeah.
Not that that's a bad thing, but it feels that sort of type of collecting, you know. I collect baseball cards. I collect stamps. I collect coins.
He also bought me a silver delicate, and like Blofeld says,
in stainless steel
of the No Time to Die poster in stainless steel, and that will increase, and it still says release 2020, so it already doubled in its value.
It's a unique poster,
and it's rare, and it's discontinued, so it has only grown in value. And you know, so for people who are into commodities, there's a lot of stuff in gold and silver that will increase over time and be a good investment on the 007 store.
You know, there was, I think it was Tom Sears from the James Bond Radio. He did a little video at the time of recording this, a month ago, 2 months ago, where he got the Golden Gun. They like re-released the Golden Gun, and he was having a lot of fun. He was actually struggling to put it together. It looked a little bit complicated, but... But look nice. I don't think.
I can't remember. Was it an actual 14 karat gold or not?
I don't recall, but it made me think of that silver gold. There might be a little bit of gold on there, but not too much. But
can you write with a pen? Is my question.
I don't think so. I don't think so. But if you have about $1,000 to spare, go on.
Yeah,
it's not even available in the store because they have, you know, they have the. The mask, oh, it's sold out. The ring, and the
which
cane.
The Spectre ring.
Yeah. Oh my God. The golden eye key is $519.99.
Why? Like I said, it's extortion.
Well, it's probably made in low the numbers, only, but
the only Spectre rings I need are the ones that cost me $5 from China.
Yes.
I don't need any other Spectre.
There's a replica of the Thunderbolt ring, which in the original movie was made of soap. From Russia with Love, not in Thunderbolt, but the Thunderbolt replica, $300. But it's a ring. I know rings can go for a lot bigger than, but it's made from 14 karat gold.
But rings lose in value as soon as you buy it. As soon as you take it out. Now, that's the whole point of the jewelry industry is that, but not sure about the Spectre ring, maybe not Spectre ring, but diamond rings or engagement rings. Once you take it out of the store, it loses 50% of its value. So if you ever propose and your girlfriend at the time rejects your proposal and you try to return the ring, then you're only going to get 50% or 40% of the value that you paid for it.
You're also telling our listeners that if you want to buy that girl a ring, hang out with recent divorcees and try and buy their ring for cheap. They have, I've looked at those personalized 007 ID cards. They're not, I think they're like $15. I might actually get me at $15 plus shipping. It's probably going to cost me
$30. Yeah. I did like this, both the spec. I've always enjoyed both the Thunderbolt and Spectre. The Thunderbolt and From Russia with Love Spectre rings, and I thought the one we saw in Spectre was a very good update, but that's something I would consider, to be honest with you, even though I'm not a jewelry person.
Why you bought a knockoff? Because it's a nice update. I think old one is a little, I think although Spectre the organization is much more threatening and interesting in the 60s, I do like the recent ring a lot more, actually.
Yeah. I mean, it's very subtle. It's very subtle.
The other one, the Largo's ring is absurd. It's like this big thing. Like, oh, there's an octopus on your finger. The other ones are more subdued. I think I'm done. Like, I'm looking at the cane, that $200 cane, that's
from Mexico City.
I ain't buying that.
What about what did you say? Didn't you want to talk about the comedy, the fundraising sketch thing?
That comedy sketch they did about 2 weeks ago. That's the last thing.
With Maddie, what's her name? Was it Maddie? I forget the actress.
Madeline Smith. No.
Yeah. Oh, the Red Rose Comet, Red Nose Comedy.
Yeah.
For charity. So it's a good cause. So even if you didn't laugh, you're helping people.
Yeah, because it was not very funny. I have nothing to say about it, to be tell you. Like it's something I put on the list, and I was like, oh, this. I watch it, and I'm like, the entire time, I'm like, yeah, this is long. This is not funny. This is long.
I mean, it was with Catherine Tate. That's the actress's name. I think it was fun. It's a very dry British humor, and I personally enjoyed it. But I could definitely tell that it was not a very like. It's, I mean, British humor is like its very own like specific brand of type of comedy, and for people who are into that, it's good. It was brilliant in its sense. I enjoyed it, and it was very relevant to the time because in the comedy relief, Bond is quarantined during a pandemic. It kind of shows like what would happen in a mission. Like he's like, oh, I'm trying to get back. Oh, who are you? I'm the janitor, and you know. Mm-hmm.
I liked their this goes back a long time, but after Casino Royale came out, the first one they did together where she's, although Daniel Craig is not playing James Bond, he's playing Daniel Craig, who in his life has earned the role of James Bond, and he moves in with Catherine Tate, and she's a bit of a fuddy-duddy person, and there's this moment he's making, I don't know what the hell he's putting on that bread, whatever that stupid British paste is that you love it, you hate it. And the interviewer is like, Daniel, like, aren't you curious about why she doesn't know who you are? And Craig sort of, in one of his funniest moments ever, and I think in anything he's done, he sort of licks his fingers. She doesn't know what I do, but she knows who I am.
I've seen that clip. I actually enjoyed that one, but it feels like since both of them are talking to a screen, it feels something's missing.
It's very 2020. It's a very 2020 sketch comedy. And yeah. I enjoy the one that in 2015 that he did with Roger Moore. Roger Moore showed up on it and Craig has a bruised face, but I can't recall the exact comedy, but I thought Roger was brilliant in that one.
I don't think I saw that one. I'll have to look that one up.
It was like because it was during the production of Spectre, so Daniel was already in tuxedo for the scenes, and it worked out pretty well.
Interesting. I'll take a look at that one. But no, I didn't find the last one particularly interesting. I got a little bit like you, man. It went on a little bit too long, and the character that Catherine Keener Tate played sort of like. Okay, sure, ballerinas and whatever. Okay,
I will say the thing I liked the most about the sketch comedy was how M's office was portrayed as a set, and I've seen like the baking of it, and I was like, oh, this is how the M's office set looks like at Pinewood Studios, and they still like had the same like build up or architecture from the 60s and now, and with you know with the modern update. That's what I did enjoy though.
There's also another that we're spending more time than I thought on this thing, but the last thing I have to say is I do tend to, and this is just a very Edgar Chaput thing, as I'm not speaking for anybody else on God's green earth here, but it is, I don't, you know, when the reference is the punchline, like there's no punchline, the reference is the punchline. So like when she turns around and she has the cat, I'm like, oh, that's for people who kind of sort of know James Bond a little bit, because they know that there's a famous film with a cat. That's the joke. Okay. Sure. You know,
that's the level.
Yeah,
but it's the reference humor where it's like there is no joke. It's the what they're referencing is the joke. I'm like, that's not a punchline. That's
like I said, it was a very it's a very dry humor is what it was.
It's half a joke. Yeah, it's not their best work.
Yeah.
All right. Oh, I'm getting a text. It's Mr. White again, and he's asking us if we have people everywhere. Oh, that see I. messed with your expectations. I've subverted your expectations.
Oh, well, we do have people everywhere. For example, online. JamesBondComplex.com, if that's a thing. I don't believe it, but Matthew keeps saying that it is. We're on Facebook. Search for the James Bond Complex. We're on Twitter, if you like birds. If you're an ornithologist, you can search for at the Bond Complex. We're on YouTube. Search for the James Bond Complex. Subscribe and tickle us with the thumbs up button. We're hosted at anchor.fm. We thank them for the gratuitous services. We are on Spotify. We're on Google Podcasts. We're on Apple Podcasts. And we spent a lot of time talking about what we can buy on the 007 store today. Now, you might not have the money to give 007.com for products, but you might have the generosity, the good nature, and the kind-heartedness to give us a five-star glowing golden gun review. Who needs a Scaramanga's gun? Just give us five stars. We are what? Jason, what is your Skype handle?
Skype handle. Yes.
To our listeners, if you guys want to see photos that I take with my DSLR that's related to Fleming film and everything in between, you guys can find me at my Instagram at jsxon88.
Oh, this marvelous. And so just as James Bond always returns, whether it's, you know, in a year, whether it's in 6.5 years, so too with the James Bond Complex, with an episode next week, la semana proxima. And sur ce, gracias and merci, bonsoir, proximo.
Terojoso, 감사합니다. 안녕히 계세요. 아리가또, 마타네.
À la prochaine!
God.
And this is our worst episode ever.